Hello, namaste, tashi dale. I hope everybody's great. This is going to be episode three of When Tragedy Strikes. Episode one, I mostly talked about how our experiences can be our guru. Episode two, I kind of just explained some of the mind states and personal experiences I went through after my traumatic head-on car accident that I had where I was driving and me and another driver basically hit head on. And then today I want to talk about some other things. But one thing I want to share is my reason for doing these videos. My reason is very specific. Every one of you who's watching this will have a catastrophic experience. It may just be the death of a loved one. It may be chronic illness. It may be terminal illness where doctor tells you you're going to die. It could be any myriad of different things. I want to share some of what I've learned from going through this with you. That's why I'm doing this. I believe that when experiences pop up in front of us, we have different ways of handling those experiences. And some people handle the experiences in a very positive way. Some people handle experiences in a very negative way. Some people, when they have a traumatic experience, they go and reach for their alcohol and they start drinking. Or maybe they start overeating, they start binge eating. There's so many different negative ways to handle situations, but there's also positive ways, and that's what the Dharma is. The Dharma is love, and love is the Dharma. And therefore, we have skillful means in front of us. First thing I want to talk about today is suffering. One of the Buddha's first teachings and kind of the foundation of the, kind of Theravadin tradition is the Four Noble Truths. The first noble truth is plainly there is suffering. Now, there is also a cause of suffering, cessation of suffering, and the path leading to the cessation of suffering. But suffering itself is something that we should really just take a moment to understand. Samsara, which is our life here in the desire realm called Earth, samsara is a big dumpster fire. It's a dumpster fire. You think you have stability, you think that there's some reliability, there's some refuge that we can take in things going the way we want them to go. There's no stability, there's no reliability. There's no way that things are going to go the way we want them to. Now, of course, we can make our plans, we can do what we want to do and, sort of create aspirations for certain things to happen. But you can make plans, like I had a plan to go drive to the nature preserve, which is a beautiful forest, and go for a hike on the trails. But guess what? Those plans get cut when the unforeseen arises as a blazing fire in front of us. So that's one thing I want to say is that samsara is marked by suffering. This is the first thing the Buddha taught. So I really shouldn't be surprised that I'm suffering after this car accident. My ribs are hurting when I move. My chest hurts. My body is, basically my body feels like 10 very strong gorillas just beat on me for 3 or 4 minutes. And now here I am, nursing my wounds. But that is samsara. The Buddha, the first thing that came out of the Buddha's wise mouth, there is suffering. So let us not be surprised by suffering. Don't be surprised when things don't go the way we want. They're not going to go the way we want. That's the most important thing we can learn. Things are going to be screwed up. Things are going to be, pardon my language, this is going to be a shit show. Samsara is a shit show dumpster fire on methamphetamines. It is as crazy as you could imagine. Anything you can imagine will happen is gonna at some point come. Okay. So that is the first thing I wanted to talk about is just the fact that there is suffering and understand. I can't change. We can't change what's coming up in front of us. What we can do is we can make a deep aspiration to change our response to it, change our psychological emotional and mental response. And the best thing we can do is just accept it again and again. Keep accepting what's in front of us. And that's another word for letting go. You could say, I'm accepting the situation, which means I'm letting go of my arbitrary expectations of what I want to have happen. There is suffering. Now, second thing I want to talk about is the fact that self-cherishing and self-grasping are the cause of suffering. So there is suffering. That's the first noble truth. Second noble truth is there is a cause of suffering. The cause of suffering is self-grasping, which is the belief that there is an inherent and independently existing self. The second cause is the cherishing of said self. So self-grasping is this idea that there's some independent entity here called Jason or called self or called me. And then self-cherishing really is this outlook or mentality of me, 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 and I'm more important than the 8 billion humans and the infinite trillions and trillions and infinite number of living beings, not only on this earth, but on other realms of existence. So why does self-cherishing and self-grasping cause the suffering and samsara? Well, quite honestly, just think about it, you know, using common sense and your own logic. If every one of us is selfish, and we are, by the way, my guru Basonam always jokes and says, well, we have PhD in selfishness. We don't need any college. It's natural PhD. And he's right. Look inside and you'll see there's always a mantra. There's always a rotating mantra garland. Me, 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 my, I. Constantly doing the mantra of selfishness. That is natural. What the Dharma does is it helps break that cycle of selfishness. So really, in a very simple way, as Garchen Rinpoche, His Eminence, says all the time, and he has even said, and I'm paraphrasing a quote, he said during a teaching, my students, I know you always hear me saying that love will protect you until you reach enlightenment, meaning love for others, which is the simple wish for the happiness of others. He says, my students, I know you always hear me saying, love will protect you until you reach enlightenment, but I will keep saying this until my lips fall off. He said that, and I just have so much gratitude for His Eminence Garchen Rinpoche, because he always talks about the importance of love, compassion, and bodhicitta. Bodhicitta is the wish to become a Buddha in order to benefit all sentient beings, and he always says, bodhicitta, love, and compassion will melt the ice block of self-grasping and self-cherishing. And what that means is love for others helps us forget self. So just take my example here. I had this horrible car accident. Technically, it was the other driver's fault. She cut me off. I was driving straight through an intersection. She was on the other side facing me. She came out and turned this way, and I was going this way. That means I have the right to drive ahead. She does not. She pulled out and caused an accident that could have killed me and could have killed her. Some people would be very angry with her and would have all of these hostile, bitter feelings. But my first thing I said when I was anxiously sitting outside in the grass waiting for the paramedics and firefighters to check me out is I said, is she okay? And I said that multiple times. And the reason I said that is because I was up and moving around, but she was in her car. She wasn't moving. So I just really had compassion for her. And I still have compassion for her, and I hope she's okay. And I think it's very important to understand that a situation like this will help us shine a light on our own selfishness. So, you know, since the accident, I've been uncomfortable and, you know, I'm in pain, my ribs are hurting, my chest hurts, my body just hurts, you know, especially when I like get out of bed, it's like the rib pain is pretty bad, or actually anytime I walk. But I'm not saying that as a complaint, I'm just, I'm explaining that I could take this very self-cherishing attitude. And the day of the accident, when I got home, I went on this walk because I needed to. The day of the accident, I went on this walk because I needed to calm down. And during that walk, I saw all these self-cherishing thoughts arising in my mind. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. And the thought dawned on me, and this is a Lojong teaching. This is Lojong / Tonglen, which is exchanging the importance of me for the importance of others. In other words, taking this self-cherishing idea and flipping it so that it shines outward and we care more about all living beings than about ourselves. So during that walk, I saw my mind selfishly thinking, oh my God, oh, am I going to be all right? Am I okay? And then it dawned on me, how many millions of people today had a car accident and died? Or they had a car accident and they're in the hospital, and here I am walking around. What a selfish person I am. What a selfish individual I am. And then the thought came on me. Let me take all the suffering of every sentient being, especially those people who had a car accident just like me, and take their suffering on top of mine, visualize it as black smoke, breathe it in. Black smoke comes in the nostrils. It goes down right here, as Tenzin Palmo says. Visualize that black smoke coming in the nose, going down to the heart center in a black pearl, fills up the pearl. The pearl converts in, or transforms into a diamond. And then on the out-breath, that diamond shines infinite amounts of light, which saturate every sentient being. So therefore, we've removed their suffering visually, and we've given them all of our all of our good karma, our wealth. Actually, I'm sorry. We've given our body, wealth, and roots of virtue. Those are kind of the three. Sorry, it's been a minute since I've read that. Those are kind of the three things when we're doing that Tonglen. On the out-breath, we're giving, which is love. We're giving our body, our wealth, and our roots of virtue. And we're visualizing giving those things to others. And you can just visualize that, to make it simple, as white light. Healing white light, healing nectar, the most powerful light that cures every sentient being of their suffering. And then on the in-breath, we're visualizing them, countless infinite sentient beings suffering with the same thing we are right now. On the in-breath, we breathe in all their suffering. It comes in and we heap it on top of our own problems. So in my case, my rib hurts. So then I can take all the physical pain of those beings who had a car accident, or any physical pain for that matter, for any being, even the smallest little insect. I'm breathing in their suffering. It comes in and it goes right on top of my rib pain. And maybe it makes that pain excruciating. It's like, bring it on, baby. Heap that pain on top of my ribs. And then on the out-breath, I'm breathing out pure white light, saturating every cell of every living being. Oh, that's love. That's compassion. That's inexpressible goodness. It makes me want to cry because it's so precious. And these masters that have given this to us, when I think about them, I have infinite devotion in my heart, because they're helping us, and we tend to be quite confused. So that's self-grasping and self-cherishing. It came up so clear, so obvious, so big. So as I was on that walk, I was seeing my own selfishness, right? I was seeing it. So that selfishness and self-grasping is the defining characteristic of samsaric life. The difference between the Buddha and the sentient beings is that the Buddha decided, instead of self-cherishing and self-grasping, he is going to benefit others. He's going to keep the welfare of others deep in his heart. And instead of thinking me, my, the mantra of selfishness, he cuts that mantra and he changes it. Maybe he changes it to Om Mani Padme Hum, right? Which is the jewel in the lotus, the Chenrezig mantra, the most popular mantra in the world from what I've been told, which is the fusion of wisdom and compassion, the perfect two wings of the Mahayana vehicle. So that's the only difference between the Buddha and a sentient being. At one time, the Buddha was a sentient being. But for some reason, he decided bodhicitta, love, and compassion were going to be his reason for living. And at that time, maybe I and us, all of us, we kept clinging to the self, kept thinking about me, me, me. What can I get? I'm most important. I'm the only one that matters. All these other beings, they don't understand my problems. If they knew my problems, then they would have so much empathy and compassion for me. Come on. That's not going to help us. That selfishness is like drinking poison. That's like taking the worst poison and drinking it, because there's no benefit. If you switch, if you flip it and you think about others, there's so much joy, simple joy. And it's a joy that stays with us forever. If you've ever done anything generous, you can think back to the time you did it. And a warm, blazing feeling, like a blazing fire of happiness and joy, and knowing we did something for another, that will come up. And researchers say that the happiness that comes from recalling a generous act or a loving and compassionate act is identical to the joy that happens when you do it. So if you want to think back over some of the good things you've done, one of my favorite things that I've done that may seem small to you, but it brings me infinite joy, is I go to the store and I buy these little things of worms. Last week, to dedicate the merit to my guru and to a friend who were sick, I bought 480 worms, or I could be wrong, 50, 450 or 480, and I just put them all in my yard. Those worms were going to be used for fishing. They were going to be on a hook. Imagine having a hook put right into the center of your body, a giant hook. Imagine dying on that hook. Just try to picture that. Try to picture somebody stabbing your body with a giant hook. And then you die. And then they use your body to catch other animals, like maybe tigers. Imagine somebody taking you, putting your body on a hook, on a sharp hook, with no medicine to make the pain less, and then maybe hunting for tigers and lions with your body. So then you get eaten by the tiger and the lion while the excruciating pain of the hook in your body is going on. So therefore, when we think like that, and I thought about that with the worms, these poor guys, they're going to have their body pierced with a hook. So then I buy them and I release them, and it brings me so much joy. I can't even explain it, how happy I am. That will happen if we do kind acts, and then we can remember them and it will make us so happy. So what I've covered today was the first noble truth, which is suffering. And then I kind of went into this thing about self-grasping and self-cherishing, and how this experience of suffering, no matter what kind of suffering it is, you can flip it and use it as a practice. Okay. All right, I love you all, and I dedicate the merit of this teaching to all sentient beings. Take care, my friends. Love you.